Good morning. We'd like to welcome our guests. We do what I call the word on the wall here on PowerPoint. Elizabeth and Marilyn put this together through the week, and they do a pretty good job. And the message, the text will be on the wall. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can follow along reading that. We're still talking out of Romans. Paul talked about the sinfulness of man. He talked about the fact that we don't have a right to judge others when we do the same thing ourselves. He talked about the faith of Abraham and how God is going to bless all men and women like he did by the faith of Abraham. We who through faith have accepted what God did for us, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Lord says in Isaiah, this is the heritage of the saints or of my people. Their righteousness comes from me. So today Paul's going to talk about death in Adam and life in Christ. And there's a lot of doctrine that sprung from just these few verses. We're going to be in Romans 5:12-21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigns through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you empty, but you said it'll accomplish what you sent it out to do. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will take your sword and do your work this morning as we gather together in the name of Jesus. We know that you're here in our midst. Lord, just open our eyes and our hearts to receive from heaven. Help us to learn the precepts of your word and have a correct understanding, being able to rightly discern your word. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Paul, in the first the second and third chapters mainly, talks about the law. And this morning he is talking about sin coming into the world and God's grace coming in. And it impressed me when I read that Adam was a type of him who was to come. That tells me God already had salvation plan in place before man ever set foot on the earth. What a God. When I think about that, it's amazing that when God made Adam, he was a type of the Christ who is going to come. In Luke's genealogy, he gives the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. And I had a lady got very offended at this one day. We were talking about Jesus' genealogy, and I said, Luke said, and Adam, who was the Son of God. Oh, no, no, no. Adam can't be the Son of God. I said, why? Only Jesus is the Son of God. I said, who is Adam's mother? And she stood there and said, well, I don't know. Some people say the earth was his mother, and that's where some of the worship of nature comes from. A lot of the Indians believe that the earth was their mother. They had legends about the Great Spirit forming man from dirt. And we know in Genesis that's exactly what happened, but he was God's son. You can't see it any other way. God made him out of the dirt. He breathed into his nostrils and said, Adam became a living soul. The woman he formed from a bone of Adam. And Paul goes all the way back to the beginning, and in some of his epistles, if you'll read them, he does that quite often. He goes back to the beginning, and that's a good place for a story to start, is at the beginning. Paul said, sin came into the world through Adam. It was a man who orchestrated the fall, what we call a fall. When I read the book of Genesis, Dr. Mark's been teaching on that for a few weeks. When God made the animals, he made the fish, he made the planets, the stars, created the whole known universe, and he made man and woman, that was the last thing he created. And that was his crown of his creation. And he said, it said he looked at all that he had made, and it was very good. But Adam sinned. And sin came into the world. And I was interested to know in the Greek what that word is. There's different words in the Greek for sin. Some's the act of sinning. Some's breaking a law of God. That's where a lot of times they speak of transgressions. In the Wesleyan Bible College, where I trained, they taught that sin was a willful transgression of a known law of God. The word in the Greek can mean to miss the mark. Paul talks about missing the mark. And the idea is you're heading for here and you deviate. You're trying to follow Christ, but then you take your own path. You think you got it pretty well figured out, and that gets a lot of people in trouble. But when the Bible says that sin came into the world, according to Dr. James Strong, this word in the Greek means wrongdoing. Any act contrary to the will and law of God. Now, Adam was called a transgressor. The word transgression means to break or violate a law or a command. Adam had one law. Adam and Eve did. Do not eat from that tree. That was a commandment. That was a law. And when they ate from it, Paul said sin came into the world. Now, I've heard that taught and taught like an entity, some kind of an evil spirit. But that's not what it means. It's a willful act. Man braced himself against God and said, I'll be my God. I'll decide what's right and wrong. I want wisdom like you have. And the serpent lied and said, God knows you'll be like God. That's why he's withholding this from you. And I hear a lot of people blaming God for the condition the world's in today, and it's not his fault. Sin entered the world. Man got just what he wanted. Okay, you're in charge. Look where we're at. None of this is God's fault. God did not create us to live in sin. He didn't create us to die originally. And it always gets me that Adam and Eve could have ate off the tree of life and lived forever. God said. after they sinned, he said, now let's get them out of here before they eat off that tree of life. And I've always wondered, why didn't you just go up and eat off the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because they were curious. And wonder why God doesn't want us to eat off that. And Satan slipped in there as he does and say, well, did God really say? I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning. They warned us when I was going through Bible college that if you go to seminary, be prepared because some of the professors in seminary are not Christians. They have credentials so they can teach in university so the university hires them. Well, that's not God's fault. But they begin to question the Word of God, the infallibility of the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. These professors say, well, it's not necessarily an inspired book. It's not infallible. It's full of mistakes. And we got young men and young women coming out of seminary that are teaching in churches. That's sin. That's not what God intended to happen on this earth. But Paul, what he's saying is Adam introduced sin into the world. And he transgressed because he broke a known law. He set his will to do exactly opposite of what God told him to do. And people do that today. And in Proverbs it says, a man's own ways bring him to destruction, but his heart raves against the Lord. You ever talk to somebody that just curses God and blasphemes because of the hard life they had? Well, it's not his fault. That's not what he intended. And when I was studying over this, I said, I want to know what Paul meant when he said sin came into the world, because some say sin is an entity. Well, if it's an entity, God created it. Because in the Bible it says all things exist through him. He created all things. So, Paul said, wrongdoing, willful acts of sin entered the world. Well, how do I explain the sinfulness of people? You had sinful parents and you were raised by sinful parents and you're going to be sinful until you come to Christ. Adam decided that he was going to call the shots. Look where we're at. I talk to people, some Christians I've talked to, and they go out and get into sin. And I mean, they come back to me and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know why God's mad. Look at the way you're living and then ask me why God's mad. Your sins will find you out, Moses said. And a Christian trying to live in known sin is one of the most miserable people that walk the face of the earth. Now, Paul said, without law, sin's not imputed. The King James says imputed, and that word in the Greek means not charged to your account. So Paul said, before the law came, Adam sinned, and all men sinned. And I just heard that the other day, and the minister said, I read it, and Dr. Adam Clark said, that's where the sin nature came in, and all sinned through Adam, and were born condemned. But God said in the law, I'm not going to punish the children for the sins of the parents. Paul elaborates on that statement. He said, all sinned. Even those who didn't sin like Adam. So Paul's just saying, look, sin came into the world and men and women have been sinning ever since that time. And it's a willful choice. And he said, death reigned from Adam to Moses. What did Moses do? He introduced the law. God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the Jews. Why did he introduce the law? Paul said he introduced the law to make sin more sinful. He introduced the law so that the whole world would have their mouths stopped. God said when he gave the Jews the law, don't say who will go to heaven or who will descend into the deep and bring us the will of God, the law of God. God said the word's right here. It's in your mouth. These are the words that I've given you. Today I give you a choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. God could have put that on and just said, you're going to choose life, but he didn't. He said, hey, I made you guys free will, and here's life, here's death, and I want you to choose life, I want you to choose blessing. There's a doctrine that's come out of this, and we'll talk about it a little more in depth next week, called antinomianism. That means against law. When Paul wrote this letter, you can imagine what happened in the church. Some people said, well, if we're not under the law, and God does not charge sin to us, it doesn't matter how we live. Praise God, we're children of God, we're going to heaven. Doesn't matter how we live. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying the law that stood against us was nailed to the cross on the body of Jesus Christ. God had to take that law out of the way before he could make it safe to forgive us of our sins. Animal blood atoned for the sin. It covered over the sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, the Bible says, from the acts of death in our conscience, the acts that lead to death. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses that. And the only way God could do that was he was just as bound to that law as man was, and he had to have a substitute. And he sent his son, the Word, who became Jesus the Anointed, the second Adam, he's called in the book of Luke. Or, I'm sorry, in one of Paul's epistles, he calls Jesus the second Adam. God said, we're going to do this all over again. Sin came into the world through a man. Paul said righteousness had to come in through a man. Look how just God is. Don't you know that the accuser of the brethren paid a lot of business in the throne room and said, look what's going on. You gave them a choice and they chose wrong and they're still choosing wrong. God said, yeah, but I've already got that taken care of. He said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, devil. If I was the devil, I think I'd went and hid somewhere, but him being the devil, you know, he just know I got to fight and oppose God. So Paul said, sin came into the world through a man. Righteousness came in through a man. The word says that God will not impute sin against us. And I cannot argue that. It means he will not lay it to our charge. Why? Because we're not under the law. We're under grace. Antinomianism says, well, then if we're under grace, the more we sin, the more grace God shows to us. Do you know why God saved you and me? For his glory. Sometimes I've had a little struggle with that. For your glory? I thought it was because you thought I was the center of the universe, man. You know, God saved us for his glory. And I read in Revelation that John saw a great crowd, no one could number, standing before the throne, waving palm branches and singing Hosanna, and praising the God who bought us with his own blood. He's getting all the glory and all the praise. You know, sometimes as Christians, it kind of hurts our feelings. We don't get recognized once in a while. Nobody tells me I'm doing a good job. Well, who are you working for? If you're working for God, he gets the praise. In fact, Jesus said, if a servant's out plowing, and you don't call him in and say, sit down, I'm going to make supper for you. He said, you say to that servant, make some supper. He'd been out in the field all day. Now you cook me something to eat. And he said, when the servant does it, does his master thank him? No. The servant just did what his job was. And Jesus said, if you only do what you're doing, he said, you should call yourself an unworthy servant, because I've only done what God expects of me. That kind of bugged me when I first read that. Wait a minute. I thought when we became Christians, we're to glorify God, but we got a lot of people patting us on the back once in a while. It pleases me sometimes when people say, that's a good message. Yeah, that really spoke to me. Then I've had people say, I didn't like that message. You said this and that, and that really bothered me. And I got bummed out about it, and one day I was at home sitting in my recliner. I resigned just about every Monday morning. In my mind, I just say, okay, I'm done. And the Holy Spirit says, who are you in this for, you or me? Oh, I'm in it for you, for the glory of God. He said, sometimes when you're giving the word to people, they get offended. It points out sin in their lives, and they're not comfortable with that. Preacher, don't do that. I got a picture in there Marilyn gave me that I framed, and the minister's behind the pulpit, and these people holding up these signs. One says, don't forget how much money I give. One says, don't talk about hell, that makes me uncomfortable. And he's standing there kind of scratching his chin. I said, I've been there, brother. I know the feeling. And when Paul's writing this epistle to this church, he's not trying to condemn them. He is sharing history with them. And he is teaching, if you will, he's teaching theology. Said Adam and Eve sinned. Sin came into the world. Adam's sin was a transgression because he broke a known law. And he said death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who didn't sin like Adam. What does that mean? Even over those who didn't break a known law. There was no law in the world. Now, I remember when I was first in ministry, I had people come up and say, what's going to happen to the people who never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they going to heaven or hell? Well, what are you asking me for? I'm not God. But then I found out in Romans chapter 2 what's going to happen. Paul said, those who have sinned without law will be judged without the law. Those who have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. God's in control. Do you believe he's just? Yeah, some of you do. He's just. He is so just, he's given all judgment to the Son. Jesus, when he's here, he said, I don't judge anybody. I'm here to save you, not to judge you. And then in another place, he said, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Why? Because he's one of us. Yet he didn't sin. There ain't going to be no jiving and fancy lawyers on the day of judgment. When we face our judge, I'm not going to be looking around saying, yeah, but he did this or she said that. I'm going to have my own problems. In a sense. I heard Mark Lowry say something the other day. It was kind of funny, but he said, don't ask me to hate your sin. I hate my own sin. You hate your sins. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm off track. Paul said sin and judgment came to all men, and all men died, even over those who didn't break a known law. But God's grace has brought righteousness and eternal life to us through Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. And I don't care how nice other religions sound, how friendly, Jesus said, I'm the only way you can get to the Father. If he were here today saying that, it'd be all over CNN and Fox News. Look at this narrow, bigoted man. Who does he think he is? That's where we're at today. Well, what's wrong to you may not be wrong to me, so you don't have any business judging me. That's relative moralism. You know, it's only relevant to me if I think it's wrong. That came out of the antinomian teachings. Now, does God impute sin against his people? No. Not according to what Paul just said. He said, David wrote, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not hold his sin against him." David was under the law. But through the Holy Spirit, he prophesied, he saw this coming blessedness, and he had to write a song about it. That's so cool to me, they just said, oh, wow. God won't hold their sins against them. Will God judge sin? Yeah, I just told you. He said, if you're not under the law, I'll judge you not under the law. If you're in the law, I'm going to judge you by the law. Well, man, that's as clear as the Mississippi River to me. What in the world is Paul saying? He said, sin came into the world through Adam, and all have sinned. I've heard that preached, everybody sinned in Adam. I don't buy that. God is not going to hold me responsible for what Adam did. But Paul said all men sinned. Before God flooded the earth, he said, I'm sorry that I ever made man, because the thoughts and imaginations of his heart are only evil continually. You don't think with this heart, you think with this. It's a depraved mind. That's why Jesus warned us to be careful what we put in us. You put in garbage, you're going to get garbage. That's what you'll produce. What a God we serve. I mean, God can look at us and say, you are willful sinners. You are my enemy. But I've taken the means to reconcile you back to me. And he's not the one that broke the deal. We are. And he looks at us and he sees that we can't redeem ourselves. In the book of Isaiah, God said, I looked and there was no one to intervene. I was appalled. So my own arm worked out salvation. God is bound and determined to save as many men and women as will come to Christ. That's his will. Don't blame him for everything going on in this world. It's not his fault. Tonight, Dr. Mark won't be here. We're going to be talking in the first chapter of Job. I just think that's a good place to talk about. A lot of debating going on there. Did God strike the sheep with lightning or did the devil? Some say the devil. Some say, no, it was God. We're going to talk about that. For God so loved the world. Paul said, while we were his enemies, he loved us. I have trouble liking some people. Some people just aren't very likable. But God's not commanding me to like them. He's commanding me to love them. Not emotionally, but to be concerned about their spiritual well-being. Church, we have a message that this dying world needs. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ with the gospel of reconciliation. You and I can talk to unbelievers and say, look, it doesn't matter what you've done. God is willing to forgive you and let you start all over again. And then he will live in you and he will teach you his truth if you'll read it. Christians, you got to read the word, man. People think I'm going to get saved and I'll just know truth. I'll listen to enough preachers and I'll learn the truth. Well, you better watch who you're listening to. If my messages don't line up with the word of God, get me out of here. Find a man of God that's going to preach the word. Read the word. Every person I've ever baptized in this church gets a Bible. And without exception, a lot of people I've talked to, are you reading the Word? Well, no. You know, I won't try to be in church on Sunday. Read the Word. It's a letter from home to you. It covers any and all of life situations that you may become involved in. It answers questions. I heard a lady the other day on TV said, children don't come with a book telling you how to do it. Yeah, they do right here. This book tells you how to raise your kids. A manual, that's what she said. It should be the heart desire of every Christian in this room to read this book. I got challenged 30 years ago by an elder's wife to read the Bible all the way through. She said, you don't start in the middle of other books and read the end. I said, no. She said, then you need to read the Word that way. And every year for the last 30 years, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When I get done with Revelation, I go back to Genesis. Am I bragging on myself? No. But I'm finding the Word of God is inexhaustible. I see things 30 years later that I've read for 30 years and oh, wow! I never noticed that before. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take things that are mine and just show it to you. An old, raunchy sinner like you, God said, I'm willing to forgive you of your sins, not charge that to your account, and I'm willing to save you and allow my Spirit to live in you and teach you the truth. We have the Bible in every translation you can think of. It's on disc. You can listen to it. You can watch DVDs. And still a lot of Christians never crack this book open until they're in trouble. Then they say, well, I know there's a scripture there somewhere that says, preacher, where's that at? Well, look it up. I have to. Paul said, sin and death entered the world through one man. Righteousness and eternal life entered the world through the other man. Stand with me this morning, if you will. Whose side are you on? Have you ever received Jesus Christ? The Bible says if you do that, you set this to your seal that God is true. If you don't do it and you're trying to earn your salvation, you're making God out to be a liar. You're making Jesus out to be a liar because he said, I'm the only way. And I really feel for people that struggle for years through religion and don't accept Christ. I attended a little country church, and there was a guy who came every Sunday and every Wednesday, and he always sat on the back pew on his right-hand side. Friendly, shook hands, visited with everybody, and one Sunday school teacher came in and said, you need to be praying for him. He's been coming to his wife came to the church, said he's been coming here for 30 years. And he's never accepted Jesus Christ. 30 years of the Word being preached. And he would sing. He was a decent man. I mean, personality-wise. But I read his obituary in the paper one day. And one of the ladies at the church had talked to me. I saw her about a month or two later. And I said, did he ever receive Christ? He said, not that I know of. That's sad. Why do you come to church? Well, my mom made me. Well, you might as well do something while you're here. Make something of it. Repent, the Bible says. Change your mind. Realize that you are a sinner, that you deserve hell, that God has made a way for you to have eternal life, and he will rescue you from death and the power of sin. If you need to make that decision, I'm going to ask you to come up here and sit on the front row. I'm not going to embarrass you. But what are you waiting for? Would you come as we sing the song of invitation? it'll be too late. Don has asked me to ask you to be praying for Lori Ferris, her daughter. She has a stomach flu, and she's not doing well right now. She's very ill. So be praying for her. I don't have any other requests written. Mike is in Florida working with the storm relief, putting up FEMA trailers, organizing a little town within the town where all the workers can come and eat, take showers, and rest. So they're doing a lot of long hours, and they're down there in the middle of everything. Keep him in your prayers. So there's more people die after the storm than during the storm, as Dr. Mark pointed that out. So be praying for God's protection upon them. Are there any other requests need to be made known? Help me get over my stuttering. I don't know why I do that sometimes. Thank you, brother. Brother Wayne, would you close for us, please?
Father, we thank you for a great day of worship. We thank you for everyone that had a part in this worship service, and we ask a blessing among them. Just be with us, Father, as well as you said in the audience, and listen to the word, and help it to lodge in our hearts and bring us closer to you. Father, we offer a special prayer for those who do not know you and who have not accepted you. We pray, Father, that you will touch their hearts and cause them to understand that they're in a lost condition, and that they need you as their Savior and their Lord. Father, we pray for those who are mentioned that have illnesses and problems in their lives, Lord, both spiritual and temporal. We ask your blessings upon them. You know their needs, and I pray that you will meet their needs. Even those down in Florida who have suffered all the losses and all the disease and the problems that go with flooding, we just pray and thank you that Mike is down there trying to do what he can to help. And we just keep our prayers going up for all those people as well. Go with us as we go through this coming week, and we ask your blessing upon each and every person. In Christ I pray. Amen. Thank you.